For me, the story of Jesus' birth is summarized by what is perhaps one of the most famous single verses in the New Testament. For God so loved the world that God gave their only begotten child, that whosoever should trust in them will not perish, but have eternal life. That, of course, is John 3:16. God so loved the world. But as we know, love doesn't stop at our emotions, at warm, fuzzy feelings. Love is much more than that. Love is compassion and empathy, feeling what others feel, knowing their struggles and their fears. And it doesn't stop there either. Love means actively helping and supporting and nurturing those that we love. And God demonstrates all of this in the birth of a small child named Jesus. God gave a piece of God's self, born into human form, so we would know that God knows what it is to be human. In the Gospel of Matthew, angels tell Joseph that Jesus is to be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Jesus' birth assures us that God knows our struggles and fears as well as our joys and dreams. For God so loved the world, a Savior is born. Matthew's gospel also says that Jesus was given to the world to save the people from their sins. But that doesn't mean, as some might take it, to save us from some future eternal hell. When we talk about sin, we're talking about our perceived estrangement from God. To save us from our sin is to heal us and bring us closer to the divine, into right relationship with God. In other words, God cared so much about what happens to the world and so badly wanted people, you and me, to be happy and fulfilled, that God gave us Jesus as our guide and teacher, to support and nurture us, to advocate for justice in the world, and reveal to us the way to our healing and wholeness, saving us by reshaping humanity with peace and goodwill. Now, we've talked many times about love as an action and not just that tingly emotion. But in Jesus' birth, we also see that love is a gift. And I invite us to think about that tonight. Love as a gift of the self. Jesus is not only a gift given with love, but a gift of love. The embodiment of God's love, God's very self. And the Apostle Paul proclaims that if God will give such a gift, then surely God will give us everything that we need to achieve wholeness as beings created in and of God's love. No one and no thing, Paul asserts, has the power to keep us from the love of God that comes to us in Jesus. And that's because, like Jesus, we too are slices of the divine, bits of love born into the world. And neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither heights nor depths, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from God's love, because that love is a fundamental part of our very being. Think about that. Are each of us, like Jesus, also meant to be gifts of love to the world? And aren't we then also meant to share our love with the world, to give ourselves to the world? Isn't it the very nature of love, as we know it in God through Jesus, to be given away freely and unconditionally? Human beings are actually hardwired to be givers. Studies show that gift giving causes a pleasure reaction in the brain. But more than that, it activates the parts of the brain that are related to feelings of trust, safety, and connection. Giving brings us closer together. It creates community. It creates a sense of family. One woman tells the story of a small white envelope stuck among the branches of her family's Christmas tree. No name, no identification, no inscription. And it began because her husband hated the commercial aspects of Christmas. The frantic running around at the last minute for gifts given in desperation because you couldn't think of anything else. And knowing that he felt this way, she decided one year to bypass the usual shirts and sweaters and ties and so forth and reached for something special just for him. And her inspiration came in an unusual way. She was at her son's wrestling match when she noticed that the visiting inner city team was dressed in ragged uniforms and didn't have proper headgear. And she thought of her husband, who loved kids and was a coach of Little League football and baseball and lacrosse. So that afternoon, she went to a local sporting goods store and bought an assortment of wrestling headgear and shoes and sent them anonymously to that inner city team. And on Christmas Eve, she placed an envelope on the tree, the note inside telling her husband what she had done and that it was his gift from her. And his smile was the brightest thing about Christmas that year and every year that she continued to do that. For she did continue that tradition, one year sending a group of mentally handicapped youngsters to a hockey game, another year a check to a pair of elderly brothers whose home had burned to the ground the week before, and on and on. The envelope became the highlight of their Christmas. It was always the last thing opened on Christmas morning, and their children, ignoring their new toys, would stand with wide-eyed anticipation as Dad lifted the envelope from the tree to reveal its contents. And as the children grew, the toys gave way to more practical gifts, but the envelope never lost its allure. Then one year, her husband died from cancer. And when Christmas rolled around, she could barely put up a tree. But still, on Christmas Eve, she found herself placing an envelope, as always, on the tree. And she found in the morning it had been joined by three others. Each of her children, unbeknownst to the others, placed an envelope on the tree for their dad. The tradition of giving to others not only continued, but it expanded. To love is to give. Feeling close to someone, caring deeply for them, seeing those around us as extensions of ourselves. These things are all a part of love as compassion and empathy. And they create within us a desire to engage in acts of kindness, to give of ourselves. Likewise, when we do something nice for someone, we feel closer to them, because to give is also to love. Now, of course, we're also familiar with the fact that giving gifts, especially when it's considered a social requirement, like for Christmas or for a birthday, can also sometimes be stressful. And that stress can counteract the benefits of gift giving. And so when we give, maybe we need to let go of our worries about that giving process, about whether the gift will be good enough or whether the person will like it and so on. Truly giving from ourselves should be done from a place of love and not obligation. We don't need to put expectations on it, but we can give without expecting anything, any kind of reaction or gift in return. And of course, gift giving doesn't have to involve physical things at all. There are so many ways that we can give that don't involve buying something for someone. We could give simple gifts of kindness, helping someone with a project or something that they've been struggling to finish themselves. Or just give someone a compliment. Tell them how much they mean to you. And we should also recognize that gift giving, like love, is a two-way action. A gift is not only given, but a gift is also accepted. We not only give of ourselves, but we receive the gift of others. And sometimes it's harder to accept a gift than it is to give it. We might think it makes us look weak or too dependent when our culture tells us that we're supposed to be strong and not need anyone else. Receiving a gift can also be an intimate thing. We might feel vulnerable by letting someone's love into our lives. When the angels proclaim the gift of Jesus to the shepherds in the fields, the shepherds realize that this is something important, so important they drop everything they're supposed to be doing to rush off to find this gift. They choose to let the gift of love into their lives. And if it makes them vulnerable, exposes their interdependence with others, well, isn't that what community is about? Isn't that what love is about? A Savior is born. God's gift of love comes to us again this Christmas so we might find healing and wholeness, given with compassion and empathy. Will we accept the gift of unconditional love? Will we make ourselves vulnerable? Will we come together in community to heal, support, and nurture each other? As we celebrate Christmas this year, I invite us to reflect on love as a gift and ask ourselves, how can we share the gift of our loving selves every day? How might we make every day Christmas? I'm going to end with Howard Thurman's wonderful little poem, The Work of Christmas. Thurman wrote, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. To this I add, the work of Christmas is to give the gift of love. May we all be a blessing of love to everyone we meet every day of our lives, doing the work of Christmas. Amen."